This is our spiritual, economic, empowerment, and development strategy seminar. Where did that big word come from? It's Nigerian federal government. It's not me, all right? You know, we have the national economic empowerment and development strategies, all right? That's NEEDS. And then they have the one for the states, which is state economic, you know, the rest of the story. And then now when I listen to it, I say, very good. I think people should have a spiritual foundation for this. And so I decided to talk about what, we just substituted that word, national or state, for what? Spiritual. So we have our spiritual economic empowerment and development strategies. We're going to talk, it's all on spiritual basis, economic matters, and empowerment of people, and development of a nation. And the strategies to accomplish all of this is what we want to talk about. And the aim of the whole seminar is to get kingdom principles for the creation of businesses and development of enterprises, and thereby build a nation. That's all. We're not going beyond that. So if you feel like this will not really benefit you, you don't have to come back. Do you get my point? Now, I really mean that. I don't mean that as I'm not taunting you. I mean it literally. If you do not feel like your life involves the issue of creation of businesses and development of enterprises via which we would build a nation, all right, develop a people, then do not bother, all right? Now, what do I want to do? The reason behind this is simple. Maybe let me read this scripture, and then we'll use that one to start. Psalm 1, verse 1. Quickly open your Bible to the book of Psalms 1. I will start from verse 1. It says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. It now said in verse 4, the wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Hold that one there and quickly open to the book of Isaiah chapter 55. It says from verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now this is where I'm going, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Again, quickly, open to the book of Psalms 118. I'm trying to establish the thing that we are trying to do. Psalm 118. From verse 19, it said, open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. It said, this is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I shall give thanks to thee, for thou hast answered me, and thou hast become my salvation. Please notice this. It said, open to me the gates of righteousness. That's the one I am going to enter through. There is a gate of the Lord. That is what the righteous uses whenever they want to enter something. Now, we have read all of this to understand why we are doing this seminar. And that's, like I said, we are talking on economic empowerment and development. Okay? And what I want to bring out here is this. Now, the world has its way of doing things. Okay? And that's a matter of fact. And most of the books we read, all right, they are, and I'm so happy, I have read a lot of them also. I've read most of Robert Kiyosaki's books, maybe not all of them, but most of them, in fact, at least the initial ones. You know, after a while, a man just keeps writing, just to, so he might keep writing. He has made all the points. So, most of the ones he first made the points, I read. At least I can say I've read quite a number of Donald Trump. I've read a lot of business, well, not really core business books, but, you know, all these kind of books that we all read, I think I've read quite a bit of them. And in fact, I read two books recently, one by the current richest man in the world, Warren Buffett, and then one by Muhammad Yunus. That's Banker to the Poor. And there are two things I gained from those two books that will help me what I'm trying to teach this time. And that's the fact that you can be very different. Do you understand my point? Those two people are very different. Now, they succeeded in their own way. But I don't want to lay emphasis on what everybody is doing. I'm trying to bring out something. That we have read many of these books, and unconsciously, Christians, if we are not careful, we think that we operate like people of the world. We don't understand that, or we forget that we have a special power working towards them that believe. Are you getting my point? If you read Ephesians chapter 1, Paul explained that there is a power that works towards those that believe. And I read these scriptures to bring out an issue. God said in Isaiah chapter 55, my ways are higher than your ways. You know, when I'm watching TV, 80% of the times what I'm watching is news, current affairs, what's going on in the world. You know, I mean, I know everything Barack Obama has done the first 3 days of being president. Anytime I see the man, I can't help smiling. Sometimes I want to cry. Other times I just be smiling, just watching the man being president. It's very interesting. And I keep praying for him. All right? It's very important. Because as some of us are rejoicing, some people are not happy. And all of us are releasing forces into the air. And it will affect him. All right? So we have to dominate the air with a good spirit. It's very important. All right? So as I watch things that happen, and I look at the spirit of the age, that's what the Bible calls the spirit of the age. Are you getting my point? And let me tell you something. The Bible says that he that sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap what? Corruption. When the Bible says that, all right, it has a clear meaning. Let me explain this. That is, you know, we read from Psalm 118. Any enterprise you want to enter into, you must choose the gate you want to enter through. Do you follow the point? And what you will get out of that enterprise is decided by the gate you entered through. It's not as much as what you do while you are in there that's the issue, but the gate you entered through. Do you follow what I mean? And what do we mean by the gate? Because you see, when Jesus was speaking about this, and that's in Matthew chapter 7, he said, enter by the narrow gate. Okay? He said, because narrow is that which leads to life. And there are few that find it. He said, broad is the one that leads to destruction. Now, those things have practical meanings. You know what it means? We're talking about economic empowerment and development strategies. It means that the strategy you use for building your business, all right, decides whether at the end of the days you will have succeeded or you will have failed. I'm going to list a few foundations, all right? That this is why we are doing what we are doing. Because it's so important we understand that point. Let me say this to you again. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, by faith we understand, that's, well, from chapter 1, from verse 1 to verse 6, if you read the whole context, all right? It was saying there that by faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made out of things which are visible. What I've come to understand from there, which you've heard me explain before, is the fact that if you find a man, take step one, step two, step three, do you understand? And succeed. People want to follow those steps, thinking that's why he succeeded. But the Bible is telling us clearly from there that the real reason is not obvious. Do you get my point? That the real reason is not obvious. You know, we're driving around town yesterday. My car had an issue. So one of my doctors was driving me around in his car from work. And they had to take me to the mechanic where my car still is. So we were not commenting on Enugu roads. You know, Enugu roads are very beautiful. You know that? They're very nice. The most blessed, in fact, it's a blessed thing. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's the effect of the word. You can say anything you like. It's because we are teaching the word in Enugu. That's why it is affecting our roads. You understand? Now, so the person now said that, oh God, democracy is good, though. I was in a talking mood. Say, democracy is good. I wanted to say, it is not democracy. I wish you would understand. It's not democracy. It's not. When Rawlings transformed Ghana, he was a military man. It's not democracy. When David made Israel enter into rest, and then Solomon came and made them prosper, there was no democracy. A prophet would just get up, pour oil, and say, this is the king. He didn't ask whether you liked him or not. It's your problem. And the king said, this is my son, will reign in my stead. And it wasn't democracy. And the people prospered. Now, I'm trying to bring up something here. I'm not attacking democracy. Because, you see, one of the things God has been doing in recent times is to show us the failure of every world system. He started with communism. Went after communism, showed the communists that there's nothing in this thing. Even China, they shout, you know, they don't practice communism. China, they have a communist party, but as a nation, they don't practice communism. Because communism means that you can't own your own business. You are part of a collective. God allowed them to flourish for a while, and he showed them, say, evil citizens is very foolish. They say, yes, so dismantle it. Russia quickly dismantled it. After he finished the communism, you know what he faced next? Capitalism. He said, prosperity from capitalism. He said, let's watch it. You know what is going on right now? Story of woe everywhere. 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 Tales of woe. Samsung, they said, for the first time in their life, they declared a loss, a quarterly loss. Everybody's laying off staff. Everybody's laying off staff. And then I was watching one man analyze the fine arts market that the bubble has suddenly burst. I said, why won't it burst? They put one square of paper on the wall, say $250,000. Why won't the bubble burst? Capitalism, capitalism. At the end of the day, God has shown us that it doesn't work the way we thought. George Bush and the Republicans insisted that you should not control the market. Fine. By not controlling the market, Bernard Madoff skimmed the whole world of $50 billion. The Germans now said, that's the German Prime Minister, the lady, she now said that they have understood that, look, this capitalism is good, though, but it must be controlled. You can't tell Obama not to control it. Before I give you money, tell me what you want to do with it. There must be strict control. There's a book in my house titled The Creature from Jekyll Island, Analyzing the American Federal Reserve System. You know, that book made me laugh. You know why? Because I finished reading the book like 6 months before American banks needed bailout. And there's a chapter in the book titled The Game Called Bailout. that leave them, that they are all thieves. That this whole banking system is structured to benefit a few people. And eventually they will wreck the thing. When they finish wrecking it to their own benefit, they will now run to government and say, you have to bail us out. Otherwise, the whole banks will collapse and the whole nation will suffer. And all the taxpayers will suffer. And the government will start giving them money. I read this book. 6 months later, it was playing out before my eyes. I couldn't help laughing. The man read it and he said, look, there is a cycle. It always happens. That as long as you use the current banking system, it will continue to happen. In which the banks can lend. I don't want to go into too many technical details. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to give you a spiritual foundation. I just told all that story to let you know that there's no world system that is good. So one of my friends was saying my doctor was saying that is democracy is good. I wasn't in the talking mood. I want to say it's not democracy. It's when God determines to bless the people. He said, I will give the Egyptian over into the hands of a cruel ruler. When God wants to bless people, he gives them over into the hands of a nice ruler. When he wants to punish them, whether through democracy or through autocracy or through the power of the gun, he will give them over into the hands of a wicked ruler. And there is nothing you can do about it. Are you getting my point? That is, the things that are seen are not made out of those things that are visible. We want to discuss, that's why we are here. I'm trying to explain what we are doing here. We want to discuss the invisible attributes that bring success into the lives of people. Are you getting my point? Listen, I will not tell you 5 keys on how to invest money. You know the truth? I don't even know. And it's very, very unimportant. And the man who will really make it, if he follows the real invisible attributes, the Bible says time and chance. Did you hear that? Time and what? Chance happens to them. That, you see, we've seen people who are smart. I like the way Warren Buffett put it. He said, Wall Street is very funny. It's a place where you find men who come in limos, you know, a limousine. And they come and take advice from the man who came on a train, who took public transport. So if that's how good he is, how come he doesn't have money to buy a limo? The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Please, I'm going to explain some things here, all right? That you see, the man who will succeed, it's not because he went to school. That's what Rembofe was saying, in effect. You can go and gather all the degrees. So why should I come and sit down and be taking advice from you? Which blessing has God blessed you that you'll be telling me what to do? The man said something. I read his book. It's a compilation of his essays, all right, by one man. We just compile and analyze, arrange them so that you can get the sense in what the man will say. But there's something I learned from everything, because I'm not here to teach you what Warren Buffett said. So I'm not here. I'm not going to tell you, look, this is Warren Buffett said. That's how he became the richest man in the world. Because one of the things we are going to see, okay, I was discussing that one today, is that money is not the standard. Money is not the standard. We are not using money to measure anything. He said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. All right? In 2006, Muhammad Yunus was given the Nobel Peace Prize, all right, for the work he did in alleviating poverty in Bangladesh. You've heard of microfinance. Microfinance, he invented microfinance. But you will see, he wasn't trying to be rich, because why I'm bringing up that issue is that the Grameen Bank he built up and the telephone company he built up, he doesn't hold one single unit of the stocks, not one. He doesn't own the bank. He does not own the telecom company. But they are empowering and blessing millions and millions. He wasn't trying to impress anybody. Do you get the point? He was not trying to impress anybody. He just looked at his nation and said, this nation has to be built. He was working and living in the United States. When they declared independence, he came back home so that he would be able to help build the nation. Many years later, about 30 years later, we now said, all right, this man, let's give him a Nobel Peace Prize. The first time a Nobel Prize for Peace was being given to somebody who is not a civil rights activist. The man was a professor of economics that became a banker by accident. Or don't let me say by accident. By trying to help people. Because nobody will agree to do banking with the poor people. Are you getting the point? Uh-huh. So you see, the man didn't scheme to become wealthy, he became. And why I want, but maybe tomorrow I'll show us that lecture he gave, all right? What I want us to see it is that, you see, there's a spirit in what the man was doing, which I believe we should learn and stop measuring success by money. One of the first things I'm going to discuss is that issue. Please, I'm not here to teach you how to become rich. In Jesus' name, it's none of my business. Are you getting my point? Let me tell you the truth. You don't have more right to having money than me who's preaching. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. Yes. I'm not doing kingdom work ministries because I want to make money from it. In the same manner, you shouldn't actually, I'm telling you, be doing anything because you want to make money. Listen, my friend, the laborer is worthy of his wages, we know. So for all the activities that you put in, you must get wages. Do you follow my point? But listen to me, you will understand because we want to get divine thoughts. Remember what I said, divine thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Let us see how God thinks about things. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's what I want us to do. Let us see how God thinks about them. You will see that the building of a company is a ministry. Do you get my point? You know, you heard me discuss that. I'll discuss it again in detail. That God has designed. Listen, you know, people make it look as if Adam did not sin, we won't have all the problems we have in this world today. Now, that is true, but that we don't have to do all the things we are doing. That's not true. God never thought that Adam, when he wants to talk to Eve, and she's on the other side of the earth, he'll go and lie down and do transcendental meditation and levitation, all those funny, funny things, and be communicating with Eve 2,000 kilometers away. He expected that one day, Adam would design the mobile phone. Now, it's not because of the fall. It wasn't the devil that designed that. God knew it would happen. Are you getting my point? God knew it had to happen. God commanded that that thing would be done one day. One day, men will have to invent the flying machine. Before, if you want to go and do mission in America, for the next 3 months, you're on the sea. May you not enter into a severe storm. But now, you can get up from here. I can tell you that, brethren, I'll be back on Saturday. Okay, let's assume that I'm supposed to preach on Sunday. I can go disappear yesterday, go to America, I'll preach 3 services, be back for service on Sunday. It was not always like that. Before months to go there. If your husband are missionary, that's when people really sacrifice for God. It's not now. Just to give offering is not too much sacrifice. Imagine, say, your husband be missionary. You born Pikin day for Nigeria. The man saying, they go preach for Amen. The boy will be stalking by the time daddy comes back. You use 3 months to voyage to get there. Then you now plan a tour on horseback and all those kind of things around the place preaching. By the time you come back, your son is ready to get married. Now, I'm bringing down something. God knew we had to invent things. Are you getting my point? And it is a ministry. I'm trying to rearrange Christian mentality. It is a ministry, therefore, to invent those things. It's a ministry to become a good government official. It's a ministry to build a great company. It's a ministry to take over the power of the airwave from those who use it to multiply iniquity. Do you get my point? You've heard me say it before. That TBN, we say, is a Christian television network. And I think it's a very good network. Amen? Yeah, they preach the gospel, but that is a church network. It's not really, that's not what God calls Christian TV. That is what? A church network. You know what God really calls Christian TV? Not the one that National Geographic be telling us 75 million years ago when the Anthropos began to evolve. You know it's a lie. How do I know? The scriptures tells me it's a lie. And they'll be saying it as if they were there. And then, after he ran around the earth for 1.7 million years, he woke up one day and changed his color and became a particular kind of dinosaur. Then he threw away his tail and began to swim. Then he grew wings. He said, this thing, how come they are thinking and just changing like this? Meanwhile, the rest of science tells us, listen to this, that nothing improves by chance. Mutations are not known in biology to improve things. They only make things worse. Mutations only make things worse. This is an established fact of science. The only time people believe mutations improve things is in evolution. All the laws of science changes when it comes to evolution. And National Geographic, Discovery Channel, all of them, they don't say that we think, we suspect, possibly. No, they will state it categorically. There's this particular kind of dinosaur. It used to hunt this one. They were not there. Nobody was there. Nobody. Some of those dinosaurs are built from a single rib and a single vertebra. If you hear the truth, you'll be shocked. You see a whole dinosaur, a model built. They did not find a quarter of that animal. The rest are imagined. One man fooled the whole world. Somewhere in Britain then, he used to dig up remnants of bone of millions of years ago. Do you understand my point? Until he died and the diggings disappeared. All the remnants vanished. Then they found out later the man actually was manufacturing those things in his lab. He would go and bury them and go and dig it and be winning scientific honors. He was describing the ape that evolved into the human being. I watched something on TBN once, a scientific program, and they showed, well, you understand my bias, I believe the scriptures, so I want to easily believe them, but they were showing another side of the story. They brought out a skull and proved that that skull belonged to one of those men who lived like 500, 600 years of those days. I don't have time to give you the details. And these were scientists talking, except that they are Christians. And they believe the account of the scriptures, that a man lived to be the age of 900. And they put his skull, a real skull, on the table. And began to explain, because the head was very big. You know, if you know what we call in medicine, anatomy, what we call the cranium. Alright? Let me just give it to you, small anatomy. Have you ever seen a skull before? Or you see this is your head there? Just do like this, like say you want salute. Do that. Alright, good. Every part above your hand is your cranium. The one below that is your face. There are two different bones. Alright? And then the one here is your jaw. So there are three bones we're dealing with. Actually, there are many bones, but there are three sides. Alright? Let's just say this is the head, this is the face, and this is the jaw. That's the way we describe it in anatomy. Now, they showed that this cranial part was much bigger than normal. The face was fairly alright. And the guy demonstrated that the fact it was that big because we all assume the head stops growing. But actually, it doesn't ever stop. It continues to grow slowly. So if this man lived, instead of 90 years, lived to be 800 years, that his head would have become that size. But you won't see that on National Geographic because he's trying to prove that the scriptures make sense. I was watching something about the story of the Bible the other day on National Geographic, and they were trying to explain that there was another Jesus, the different kinds of Jesuses that exist. And they made the Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, appear like another of those people that just made it. He tried to build a company, and his company succeeded. And you are all employees now and shareholders in the great lie that he told. Because they said there was one guy, Simon, who was also a powerful man, that if it was not a strong challenge to the personality of Jesus, why did the Bible take time out to denounce him? I said, this woman, I said, why am I even getting angry? Obviously, you have never read the Bible, because the Bible never took time out to denounce that Simon. It never did. He said only a few things about him, most of them good. Said this man had power and was holding the people under the grip of his power, but he himself also believed. And then when he saw power being demonstrated through the laying on of hands of Peter and James, he offered them money. And then Peter rebuked him the way we all know. And then he prayed and said, ah, please, oh. That is, he was a good man who was just believing. The Bible never tried to make him look like an evil person. Yes, previously he was a man using occultic powers. But what the Bible emphasized is the fact that he also believed. And bring on an issue. When National Geographic was going to talk about him, they made him look like he also tried to build a religion. He did not succeed. The followers of Jesus demonized him and made him lose out. Christian TV is not TBN. Get my point. It's not God Channel, J-Star TV. They are all church TV. It is good. Because a person who tunes in either already believes or is trying to believe. An average person that doesn't believe yet won't tune in. Why should he? He knows what you are going to say. So I look at it, I said, guys, these stories are for people like us. And then as I was praying, the Holy Spirit began to speak. I have to be a Christian to believe that. I don't know whether I get my point. It's not reaching to the unbeliever at all. So now, and then the Holy Spirit was ministering to me. Listen, my friend, I have to be a Christian to believe that thing. I'm bringing that an issue. So read Christian TV. Is when, listen, you know why Al Jazeera, okay, was started? To bring out the news from another perspective, because CNN was so powerful. CNN shaped, look, most of, I'm not saying terrorism is good or bad, anyway, I'm not saying anything about it, I'm not saying it's good, alright, but I want to bring out an issue. All the stories you know about Osama Bin Laden is what Turner and Co. want you to know. If they decide that that guy is a black man, you will believe it. Because every time you tune TV, they will check. All they need to do is just paint him one color. That's what the Arabs thought about and said, my God, these guys are shaping the opinion of the whole world. Therefore, the Qataris decided that, oh yeah, let's have our own network. Sure, we have the money. We thank God for it. We are descendants of Abraham too. All right? So the guy decided to take his money and built a very powerful network and poached staff from CNN. Mike Hanna is in Al Jazeera, used to be on CNN. Riz Khan is in Al Jazeera, used to be on CNN. Maria Ressa, she's in Al Jazeera, used to be on CNN. They used petrodollars, collected. No one was trying to do to get a grip on the opinion of the world. And they are succeeding. They are. DSTV now gives you CNN and Al Jazeera right next to each other. And look, I tune to CNN, I get American perspective. Euro News, Al Jazeera, I get the Middle East perspective. AIT, I get the Nigerian perspective. What am I trying to say? One day, you see, God doesn't expect that I will turn to TBN to get the Christian perspective, because Christianity is not a sect, it's truth. Do you get my point? That is, I should tune to CNN and get the true perspective. Because those who run it have the spirit of Christ. Are you getting my point? That is, when I tune to National Geographic, God doesn't expect me to get the American or Nigerian or something. No, it's that let me get the true perspective. Because those who are broadcasting it, they have the spirit of Christ. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? CNN is Christian, is a church TV. It is good. That's what CNN. TBN. Daystar TV. They are good. John 3:16, all of them, they are good. I'm not saying they are not good, but they are like going to church. When it comes to broadcasting, God expects things that, like, I go to a bank. You know, a bank is not for Christians, it's not for Muslims, it's not for Hindus, it's not for anybody. It's just a bank. Just like a market. There's no Christian market. The only Christianity inside market is that your skills are honest. The only Christianity inside market is that if you put Sony on the TV, it should be made by Sony Corporation of Japan, any of their branches. Not that Jun Chuan made it in Guangzhou in China. And then decided, which one do you want? You want Panasonic or Sony? I make it for you now. That's what the Chinese men do. Talking about godly principles, them just drop that one. I told somebody, say, who will take over from America as a superpower? I said, America is not going down. Yes, relax. There's nobody ready to take over from them. This one about China. I said, the dishonesty in the heart of the Chinese man will never let him rule the world. It's not possible. It's a spiritual law. It will never happen. As long as you make your own product and you call it Sony, you are forever inferior to the Japanese. It's true. You make your product and call it Samsung, you have declared, dear Lord, Koreans are greater than me. That's what you have said. Until you are ready to make your product and pull it, Jintao, put it there. That was how the Japanese started. When Japanese people started their own long ago, people, you know the way they say made in China, we laugh at it. You know, we are reducing our laughter now. That's how it was with the Japanese. When they started, don't mind that guy, he go buy, what did he buy? He said he's one JVC. He didn't see Grundig, that's from Germany. He didn't see GE, that's General Electric from America. That was what men bought. The Japanese came in cheap. That was how they broke. But now, if they say made in Japan, you will swear by Almighty God that it was made by Deputy God. Just because it's made in Japan. That's why the Japanese will not give you any other person's name apart from his own. If Sonny makes it, it's Sonny. He doesn't want to make the S drop so that it's going to look like somebody else's own. Chinese man will make Sonny, S-O-N-N-Y. Because he doesn't have any, no, he doesn't believe in himself. He only worships money. But let's leave that. But the point I'm making is that we must get the new perspective. And what God expects, that's what I'm trying to explain, is not that we do things like money. How do we make money? No. That's number one thing I'm going to drop today. This thing is not about personal enrichment. I want to drop something with you so that I can close. Quickly, let's read that Ephesians chapter 4. I'll read that from the King James. It will help me explain what I want to say. He talked about Jesus ascending and then giving gifts unto men. And from verse 10, he said, he who descended, let me read it from King James because I like one expression there in the King James. He said, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. Now, what did he do? Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some, that is, as prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. What is their duty? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That is, they perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come, Ephesians chapter 4, I'm in verse 13 now, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What I brought up from here is that word ministry, verse 12. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry. Listen, the saints are being perfected to do the work of ministry. Do you get my point? Personally, right now, I function in that office, pastor and teacher, because from my understanding, it's a single office. If you look at it, people say there are 5 ministry offices. I've studied it extensively. There are 4. They are apostles, they are prophets, they are evangelists, and then the last one is called pastors and teachers. All right? That's how they go. I will give you pastors after my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's the job of pastors. This is just by the way. We'll do that when we are doing ministry matter later. It's not the job of pastors to visit people. Do you get my point? Their job is to what? Teach people. All right? It's good if you can visit, but it's not part of the description. Do you understand my point? He's supposed to labor in word and in doctrine. He's supposed to focus on the ministry of the word and prayer. And then allow the deacons to do all the running around. Alright, that's just by the way. That's by the way, all right? Just making an issue. But these people, what are they supposed to do? They feed the saints, teach the people of God, prepare them, anoint them. Apostles and prophets, if you see that kind of thing, if you read through the scriptures and you have a lot of understanding and experience, they tend to have the kind of anointing. It's different from somebody just teaching. A man just says something, throws something at you, you know, like, just say, receive it in Jesus' name, and that's it. That's an empowerment to succeed. Do you get my point? Before, maybe you were afraid. You suddenly realize that you're not afraid again. Because God sent a ministry your way. Are you getting the point I'm making? But what has it done? He has energized you to go out and do your own work of ministry. So what I'm trying to bring out, this is my first point in this, my teaching, spiritual economic empowerment and development strategies, is for you to get the point here. Number one, it's not about money. It's about what? Ministry. Listen. You are supposed to... Now, listen to this. You are supposed to succeed in building your business as I am supposed to succeed in building my ministry. It is satanic to say, I think I have enough. What more am I looking for? You are an unfaithful servant. That's a very good word. You are an irresponsible Christian. When we don't have understanding, we say, what is a man looking for? After all, you have enough money to buy a car or two or three. You build a house. You can send your children to school. That is because you are following the satanic principle of the world that says it is about money. Are you getting my point? Let me tell you the truth. The only reason why the Qataris could get up and decide to challenge CNN was because they had the means. And build Al Jazeera is because they had the means. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Listen, I told you, it's not just by being angry. You can vex from now till tomorrow. I don't know what's wrong with these CNN people. You can be shouting. Listen, my friend. Except you have the money to build your own network, CNN will dominate. They will. Let me give you as an example. All of you know MTN. I'm not saying anything bad about them that you don't know already. MTN, they are very aggressive in business, in investment and all of that. And they are bold. You know, they are good in that area. But they lack a particular key that will have entrenched them in dominance forever. They lack it. They don't love their customers. Everything they do, now, I'm going to leave this thing. They let their MDs read hear it one day, maybe to help them. All right? Everything they do is purely for profit. When they started the MTN zone, remember, as I said, they can't sustain this thing. 90% discount. They can't. No, after 2 weeks, it dropped to maximum 50. Now, there's something I'm coming to. Okay. Do you know that were it not for Econet of those days, Nigeria would have been paying 100 naira a minute to make calls? Can you remember? When MTN first started, you paid to have a voice box, that's voicemail. You needed to pay. To listen to your messages, you paid. Econet just rolled out and put those things bundled as part of the basic services. MTN had to return money to their subscribers that they had paid for those things because of Econet. Per second billing is not possible in Nigeria. The day Glo did it, next day, God began to work miracles, special miracles by the hands of MTN. Because he said it wasn't possible. When the impossible becomes possible, is that not a miracle? One day I told one of my friends, and that day the boy wanted to cry. He was angry. I said, do you know that while when they were billing you, if you make a call, 1 minute, 1 second, you get billed for 2 minutes. Alright? You make a call, they drop your call. At 4 seconds, you're saying they were doing frequently. 4 seconds to the next minute, you get billed for 2 minutes. Once you cross to the next minute, you get billed for the whole minute. Do you know at that time? No, what I'm telling you is a fact. At that time, if that call was terminating on Econet, Econet was billing them for 1 minute, 1 second. When they were lying that it wasn't possible. Amongst themselves, they were doing it. And they turned around and told me it wasn't possible to bill me per second. Now, Let me leave that one. What I'm trying to come out with is this. Do you know who put MTN in check the first time? It was Econet. Who put them in check the second time? It was Glo. I'm bringing out something. Until you are powerful enough to have a strong voice. So it's not about, I have enough to eat. You must have a voice to talk. That is how you entrench righteousness in a nation. I'm bringing out something. Look, as Christians, first thing you do is forsake this attitude of behaving as if it's all about money. Once it doesn't make money quickly, you're not interested. And you think I have gathered you to show you the pathway to quick breakthrough. I haven't. That's financial breakthrough. I haven't. I have no plans for that. I'm teaching you how to do business as a ministry. Did I hear an amen? How to do it as a ministry. How to build a company. Yes, we know you could have imported from China and made money. But you decided that if I build it here, I would employ 2,000 people in Enugu State. Therefore, I know our profit would have been 200 million naira in a year if we imported it from China. But if we build in Enugu, we will make only 100 million. That 100 million extra you have lost is called an offering. And offerings are very good. Amen? Listen, it's called treasure in heaven. They don't only bless your life. They prolong the life of your business. And they actually eventually bring more resources into your pocket. I told that the way of the world is very different. And what we want to learn is the ways of God. You understand my point? I mean, I watch TV every time. Every time. When they lay off staff, the share prices will go up. Let's assume I have a company now called ABC International. And I announced that in our corporate restructuring, we are laying off 1/4 of our staff. Instantly, our share price in the stock exchange goes up. We are good people. We know how to manage money. That's what it means. Because for the world, it's all about what? Money. It's all about money. It's all about money. And that's why they are so easy to deceive. That's why Madoff can sit down for years, more than 12 years, collecting money from people. He was running the original pyramid scheme. He was paying the other people from the money the new people were depositing. And we're not talking about the one they do in Nigeria, 2005. Double it in 3 months. No. This guy was collecting $1 billion, dollars, $200 million, $1.5 billion. The man is not even deceiving anybody. Look, the whole money is gone. What were you doing with it? It was a Ponzi scheme. That's what they call it. What are you going to do to the man 70-something? You jail him, eh? Will he bring your money back? Because, you see, those things, God gives people over to deception. The reason why God allows that to happen is because we want to be deceived. We have made money the baseline. Everything is about personal gain. And that is what is called the spirit of this age. When you hear 666, don't let anybody deceive you that 666 is a computer chip. There will never be a computer chip that is 666. There will never be. Those things are symbols. That thing is the number of man. That when men begin to worship themselves, when they become lovers of self more than lovers of God, that's when they are bound to the Antichrist. Not as some people say they will never buy a computer because of 666. When I was in Houston, I saw a joke on TV. It was embarrassing. My soul, I felt bad. You know why I felt bad? I sat in the evening, I was watching, there's this comedy on TV. They show on a local station there. I forgot the name of the man. Some of you might know if I mention the name. It's a very well-known comedian. And the guy is good. I mean, the guy is very funny. Even me, I laughed. Though he was laughing at me, I had to laugh. He showed this couple. They teach on end time on TV. And the man was teaching. And I've watched the man a lot from Nigeria here on TBN, on some local TVs, I think in the past. But I've watched the man, you know. I don't want to tell you the name now. So this man, of course, is an American. He broadcasts on American TV. So this guy obviously caught one of the programs. And so he showed a clip of it in which the man was talking and said, the Antichrist is going to use the internet and computer and all of that. The internet, the tool of the Antichrist. He talks so much about Antichrist. Finally, at the end of the program. So the commentator, the comedian was saying that, okay, see, Look at all of this. Now, watch this. They now show the woman, this man's wife, announcing at the end of the program. For more information on this, if you want to get this material, please visit our website, www.abcdyx.com. The man said, I thought he said he was Antichrist. Do you know? I was embarrassed. That is because I'm a Christian. I felt so bad. It was sheer mockery. It's a tool of the Antichrist. And then here you are employing it for the gospel. Listen to me. There's no Antichrist there. Internet is development. Do you get my point? No human beings, any good thing, they must look for a bad name for it. I actually heard a man tell me that Obama is so popular, don't you think he might be the Antichrist? I'm not joking. I'm not joking about this. I'm not joking about this. Somebody asked me. I said, how come every good thing is Antichrist? Every good thing is Antichrist. Use mobile phone is Antichrist. People say some people are using mobile phone to kill people. If you just answer, hello, hello, when you don't hear a voice, you can just drop down and die. I say, Jesus Christ. Hey! What am I trying to say? Listen, there is no 666 that will come up one day and say, bring your hand, let me insert a microchip inside. And if you don't take it, you will not be able to, you know, we have explained it. Let's listen. It's the number of man. When men become lovers of self, more than lovers of God, that's when they are enthroning Antichrist in their lives. Every one of them. And you understand the principle as we go on. This thing underlies everything in business. There are some Christian thoughts to business that is alien to the world. I'm going to talk about how to handle competition. You are doing business. Your competitor is not your enemy at all. He has a right to do business. It is ungodly for you to try to run him out of the market. God will punish you as a believer if you try it. He's a challenge to your excellence. If he can do it, ask yourself, why can't I? You know, God uses other people to stir people up to jealousy. You've not read in the scriptures? When the Jews won't obey God, God will bless the Gentile nation. Peradventure, they will repent. I will show you the lecture of Muhammad Yunus. As a Muslim, he did what he did. All Christians know how to do is give offering that they might get back. He left his job working at university to go and be working amongst the poor. The kind of story you only hear from the Bible. We want to show up in our finest suit and a new car as a sign of God's blessing. Listen, the first thing I'm explaining today, why are we here? We are explaining kingdom principles for the creation of businesses and the development of enterprises. Because next point I should make before we leave, as part of our introduction, don't forget that thing I've said, it's not about money, it's not about any other thing but ministry. You are going to succeed in life so that you will have, done the purpose of God. Do you know that there are people who God will give very tiny reward, give them a hut instead of a mansion in heaven because they did not build a school? There are those who will get to heaven. And God will say, how was it? I said, however, God, we tried. What did you do exactly? You know, in my hometown, that church, I built it. The car that the pastor drove, I bought it. In fact, all the preachers in that town, I placed them on a salary. You know, I became an executive director in an oil company. This was the amount of money I made. Are you getting me? And he will finish bragging and say, Lord, I give offering. I give. And Lord say, ah, now wow. Gabriel, how much did he give in his lifetime, sir? He was able to give like 225 million naira, 720, you know. Wow, and the guy is feeling good. Because, you know, he's from a poor village, poor area. He made over 1 billion naira in his lifetime, and to him, that's breakthrough. So God will say, okay, Gabriel, open the books. What were you supposed to do? Ah, sir. The first company that will have manufactured completely plasma TVs from Nigeria, you said he should have built that. How many people was he supposed to employ? And from that and subsequent companies derived from that and their suppliers from the local area, total of 25,000 people, sir. All right. Now, each of those 25,000, if they had prospered and given offering, how much will they have totaled? Ah, Gabriel said this one. 75 billion. He's just calculating. And by that time, bros don't begin sweat. He just said, what was he doing? He was taking chieftaincy title and deacon title. You know, deacon is not a title. Yes, he was taking that kind of title. So he sits in front of church. Because were it not that he believed, would you just throw him to the lake of fire? Since we can't do that, find him one boy's quarter behind. Let him live there for eternity. Why is he being judged like that? Because he's not built a company that makes plasma TVs. Because to him. And listen, this is how the choice I made. Though. It's not as if man would have woken up one day and said, now let us build a company that makes TVs. No. A time will come when God will give him the opportunity to do good or to receive blessing for himself. And he'd rather receive blessing and promotion. That's why I tell all of you who go for youth service, be careful. Be very careful. You're looking for where they pay more. I have told you, they give you 1 year, it's a rare opportunity to do good. He said, this place, there's no toilet. Very good. At least you can show the people how to build proper latrines so that they won't have cholera. You will use yourself as an example. You will call the people around, let us dig the first one, prototype for the village. Do you know by your knowledge you can eradicate guinea worm from a community? To eradicate guinea worm is very simple. Just teach them how to buy white cloth. They don't need to boil the water. Put the white cloth over a bowl and pour their drinking water into it first, and nobody will ever have guinea worm again. Do you know that's how simple it is? But my friend, I went to Enugu. Nine is Oceanic. It's in Oceanic. You don't calculate what they will give him for 12 months, including the possibility of retaining him. And you can't think straight again. Use that opportunity. You go to one village and say, look, boys, come. Must all of you die in this village? Let me give you the opportunity to go beyond the realms of this village. First, you have to pass WASC. And we're not going to buy results. Just pick 5 or 10 children that look like they're interested. You will get something from it. They will wash your clothes at least. They will weed your farm. In return, you will teach them physics, maths, biology, chemistry, and English. By the time they know the one you know, there's no words they won't pass. You're a university graduate. They will pass. For information, you can teach them commerce in all those small, small subjects. It's not, dude, those books are very simple. You know, for an adult like you, they are very simple books. I know I'm digressing. But the point I'm making here is, look, it's just to see it with a different mindset. There was a story I told you several times in the past about an advert, I think, of Absa Bank, South Africa Bank, one bank from South Africa. The advert that time was a doctor who came out from a house having made a house call. And he went to see a sick man at home. That's what it means to make a house call. And he saw one little boy admiring his very fine car. So the man came and said, oh, you like my car? He said, yes. He said, oh, my brother gave it to me as a present on my last birthday. The young boy said, hmm. He said, do you know what I'm thinking? The old man said, yes. You are hoping that one day you have a brother to give you a present like this on your birthday. And the boy said, oh, no. I'm thinking that one day I will give my brother this kind of car as a birthday present. Do you understand the point? And the advert ended with, see the world from a different angle. I can't ever forget it. And that's what I'm teaching. That we should see business from a different angle. We should see all our enterprises from a different angle. There's a company, I don't know the name, I just heard the story. That in the US, the owner of the company, refuses to lay off staff because of new technology. You know, usually, if you have 5 secretaries, by the time you buy 2 new computers, you can drop 3 of them. Or 4 self, if you have a good one remaining. The man doesn't agree to do that. Those 5 will work till they retire.
He'll buy the computer. Oh, don't think he won't buy the computer. He'll buy the computer. Then all of you will be using it. That will increase productivity, most certainly. Okay? The extra three that he doesn't need, they have become a liability to the company. So you know what he did? He pays a tithe, in quote, of the company profit to pay the staff he doesn't need. That is, if they make $200 million, $20 million is kept aside to pay staff they don't need but they can't lay off. He said, how can technology remove my staff that has labored with me for the last 15 years? Say, you have 10 more years to work here. Don't worry, just be working. We will find something for you to do. We will promote you at the necessary time. Where do we get the money from? Simple. We take a portion of our profit and it's kept specially aside to subsidize the payment of staff we don't need that we have already hired. Maybe when you retire, we won't replace you. Maybe. Do you get my point? But you that have been with us, we will not let you go. I watch TV all the time. And so when they are doing things, I say, obviously, these people don't believe in God. They don't. That is why you will lay off staff so that your stock price might go up. You know what that means? You will have more dividends to pay. Why should I pay you more dividends? We're in this together. Owner, worker, all of us. It's the same vineyard. Please, I hope you are getting my point. It is not about money. It's about what? Ministry. You will learn. That's number one. Because when I'm talking about development, I said we are getting divine principles for the creation of businesses and development of enterprises. I was reading somewhere the other day, I don't know which of the books now, talking about South Korea, and they had I was watching it, analysis on TV or something, business, that there was a time, now I just want to give as an example, all them LG, Samsung, and all of that, all those South Korean businesses, Hyundai, they were not really making money. Do you know why? I just use as an example to let you get the concept. Their job was to establish the South Korean brand. I don't know whether you get the point. That is, America had their brand. Europe had it. You know, when you enter Germany, the best cars in the world, at least three of them are made in Germany. In case you didn't know, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, Volkswagen, Porsche, Audi, Opel, all these cars come out of Germany. One single small country. All of them. So those brands are already there. So when the Korean people saw their dead nation, they wanted to raise this nation up. They started manufacturing. They needed to create the South Korean brand. So they did not care about profit making. They cared about production and quality and capturing market share. I don't know whether you get the point. That is, as they are getting the money from the sales, they are making new things, making them cheaper, trying to make them as good as the Japanese next door, and selling them all over the world. What's the point I'm trying to make? That is, they had a goal. That's why you see the South Korean, Japanese CEOs, they are not very well paid. And that's why the Americans will always have problems. I mean, if I told my friend, he lives in America, when Chrysler, Ford and General Motors went to go and beg for money from the American government. I said, you guys don't have too much problem. I said, just sack the three CEOs and hire two Japanese to do the work and the whole company will recover in one day. Look, that's very simple. Just sack the CEO and employ a few people from Japan. He will turn all of you. You'll become profitable overnight. That they don't have any problem. Is this their bad American habit? That is just their problem. Anyway, let me see what I'm going to explain. So you see, the South Korean trying to penetrate the market. You know what he did? Manufacture good quality products at very good prices and kept on marketing advertising. The first day I heard Samsung, it was on, I was watching Eurosport. That was around 1993, 94. I was watching Eurosport. I never heard of Samsung before in my life. And I didn't think anything of it. Until when I entered the market to go and buy TV. I just saw it there, Samsung. Of course I bought it. I bought the TV. I bought it. Those guys spent money. This is the point I'm making. They had a goal, and their goal was to capture a market for the Korean brand. And my brother, they had problems later on, but they succeeded in doing it. Samsung is the world's largest manufacturer of microchips and flat panel screens, either for computers or TV. LCD screens, they are the world's largest. If you ever, you know Hyundai, you heard of Hyundai? They are one of the world's largest manufacturers of semiconductors and microchips. They carved out a company called Hynix out of Hyundai. Go and check most computers you see. Their screen doesn't matter whether they are from China, America, Europe. Most of the screens are from South Korea. The best LCD TVs are made by the Japanese and the South Koreans. LG, Samsung, and Sony. Those three people, they give you contrast. If you understand TV, contrast ratios of 15,000 to 1. An average Chinese LCD TV, contrast ratio, you know, they pass 750. I'm not joking about that. They had what? A target. They went after it. They suffered many afflictions. In the same manner, if you have a different perspective as a Christian, in pursuing your goal, you may suffer many afflictions. But believe me, you will most certainly succeed. Are you getting the point I'm making? You will most certainly succeed. You are going to do your work as a ministry, not a way of becoming very rich. In fact, you can set for yourself a target. The initial, that's to put yourself in check. You know, maybe you become a big man. Me and my manager must earn the same amount of money. I'll put 2 naira extra on top for myself as yoga. It's a way of keeping your brain together. With a lot of useless bosses, they pay themselves first and their staff last. I've worked in a place before, a guy carrying money, go pay house rent. I didn't pay staff for 3 months. Don't you know those people? They too, they have rent to pay. Anyway, please, I hope you've gotten what I've tried to explain. What I've said in all of this is, listen, is that there is divine order. Along the line, I'll say some things. How do you handle your profits? It's very important. It's very, very important. It's different from the way the world does it. It's very different. What do you do with your money? And listen, don't let me get ahead of myself. I want to close on time, answer a few questions, and so we can be out of here. I don't want to take time because we have 10 sessions of this. This is number one. All right, so we have all the time. So let me just try and rush and not say too many things, okay? You will find out that for you, as a child of God, to increase and to multiply is a commandment. It's not as I like it. Contentment, the way the world defines it for us, doesn't work for Christians in business. God bless them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion. Anything short of that is not Christianity. Until the day you die, you must be planning expansion. Chiki, I was telling you that this our shippers from America, that their problem is that they didn't get ready for expansion. In your brain, you must be ready for what? Expansion. No, and listen, I told you it's a different perspective we are dealing with. Listen, if you have one shop today and it's giving you money, I mean, you bought a car, a very nice Tokumbo car, you can live in a nice, you've even bought land, but it hasn't crossed your mind that now only 3 members of staff you get in the last 7 years, they have not increased to 4. Listen, my friend, you should count yourself a failure. That it would have been better for you if you had increased your outlets to 10 and had 30 members of staff and still believing God for a car. That's a better way to succeed. Now, it's good to buy a car. I'm not saying it's not. You get what I'm explaining. But in the order of preference, because for God, he said, be fruitful. We'll discuss that. And multiply. Fill the earth. See, there are 3 stages. First, you are fruitful. The out of your fruit, you scatter seed abroad. Then when those seeds bear fruit, we say you have what? Multiplied. As you are multiplying, what you are doing is that you are filling the earth. It's when you have filled the earth that you have a voice. Like you can, like Al Jazeera, get up and tell CNN your reporting is not balanced. Let me give you the other side of the story. For the believer, it's not an option. You will have thought that everybody likes to increase now. Let me not get ahead of myself. Let me leave it. Because the problem with people is that, listen, they are afraid. Because the point of increase usually looks like the point of death. Do you get my point? No, the point in which you will increase, there will be a risk of killing the one that exists already. that is when the Spirit of Christ in you will say, if I perish, let me perish. It's those points that people choose the easier way. It's a commandment. We'll discuss it. It is a commandment. You must increase. You must increase. Listen, let me tell you something. You know this one, the outsourcing. Businesses are closing and we are now leaving China to do all the manufacturing. This is my conviction. If we have enough businessmen who understand that this thing is about ministry, Nigeria will not close and lose its jobs to China. Because, let me tell you, oh God. Because, you see, one of the things, you see, this life is spiritual. It's spiritual. One of the first things that the businessmen will do, the shareholders will do, is to first strip themselves of profit so as to maintain the company. When God sees them doing that, he will now pour water upon the seed that they have sown. He will change the economic climate in such a manner that it will be impossible for them to close. We will discuss it. Listen, the basic thing, it's not about teaching you principles. According to this so-and-so, one business school. I like one thing Warren Buffett said. He said he likes business schools. You know why he likes them? Because they teach his competitors not to think. No, that's what Warren Buffett said. He said, I love business schools. They bring out products that can never compete with me. It's not possible. That they teach people not to think. So I'm not here to quote what one business practice is. We are going to, he said, I will source my knowledge from afar. I will ascribe righteousness to my maker. That's that wisdom from afar. That's what I'm talking about. And listen to this. This is what I wanted to say. If you imbibe divine perspective, now listen to this. That's why I read from Psalm 1. That was the reason why I read that one first. It said, in his law he meditates day and night. That is, the man that takes time out to imbibe divine perspective automatically succeeds without trying. He is the man that becomes a lucky man. Did you hear what I said? He becomes what? Lucky. He becomes lucky. Success is not by striving. Listen, success is by believing the right things and practicing them in the little area that God gives you the opportunity. Then you will suddenly become lucky. Let me say it like this. You can't succeed in life without, in quote, luck. Do you get my point? Luck is the colloquial expression for what the Bible calls what? Blessing. It's when God shines favor upon you that you become lucky. A man in the bush can be lucky. A man in the city can be lucky. So you don't have to run to the city to succeed. God can send, look, I've said, you've heard me say this 1,000 times. You have listened to me long enough. I said, blessings are commanded. Go and read Psalm 133. He said, from there, God commanded the blessing. Blessings are what? Commanded. They don't come by chance. But when people look at it on the surface, he said, time and chance. That is, looking by the things that are happening, the man was just lucky. But what sets you up for luck is what I'm saying. You threw away worldly perspective. Receive divine perspective. Do you get my point? See things from a different angle. Walk according to the things that you have seen. And then get ready, because your luck is on the way. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
I said get ready, because what? Your luck is on the way. Amen. Let me stop there today. We have plenty of time. So there's no need trying to say everything one day. Amen. So I hereby force myself to keep quiet for today. Amen. We can't take too many questions here. We are still laying foundation, Abby. Did you write any question down? If you wrote any question down, I mean, you don't have any. You've already written the question down. You have a question. You want to ask it. Okay, just give me a second.
So how do we form a vision? Because like...
Form what?
A vision for business. You know, like most times when we're doing business.
All right.
it's almost like the forces of life force you to equate business success to naira and kobo.
Okay.
Many times. All the challenges and all that. So at a time you find maybe losing the esoteric visions, as you start calling it then, to pursue naira and kobo at a time. So how do you form a lasting vision that will pull you through those challenges and not be forced into thinking about only profit for business?
All right, thank you very much. Now, there are two things I'm going to do. Let's just announce it again. One, sometimes you ask a question, I may not answer it immediately because it has given me more things to talk about. Do you understand my point? Subsequently, or maybe I'd already planned to talk about it. So please, watch out for answers to all the questions throughout the whole discussions. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. So please just bear that one in mind. Like the question you have asked now, as we go on, some of them will be answered here and there. But let me just say one or two things in response to that. Number one, generally, let me talk generally about how you have formed a vision for your business. That one, first, we are believers, all right? I'm teaching Christian principles. Is that okay? And every child of God has a spirit in him. There is a calling upon your life. And as you walk with God and build yourself up on the word of God generally, certain things will rise out of your system, all right? Oftentimes, or most times, it will be in line with your gifts, things that you know how to do, things that just come to you naturally. The Holy Spirit working with you will lead you in a particular path. That's generally speaking, okay? Now, another thing is this. As a Christian, you know, Christianity and ignorance are not synonymous. Do you follow my point? Any Christian say, I only read the Bible. Don't have any respect for him. Have pity upon the person. You know, people make it look like a good Christian has no time for any of that thing. It's just to read the Bible. So a good Christian can never be a doctor because, you see, it can never be a lawyer. That's out of the point. Because lawyers, all they do is read and quote. So you can never be a lawyer if you're a good Christian, if we use that perspective. How do you become a chartered accountant if you only read the Bible? Are you getting what I'm saying? So please, let's not fool ourselves at all. A good Christian must be enlightened. You must be what? Informed. You must know what is going on. Because, actually, one of the ways by which God leads you is that he shows you what the problem is. And an idea comes into your head that we can solve this thing. It becomes a vision for you. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? It's as things are, you know, you just come out in life. You are driving one day. You stop somewhere and say, why are these shops like this? Why can't we do shops that will be like this? Suddenly, an idea, maybe a real estate man, an idea for this kind of shopping area in a place like Enugu and spreading it around, suddenly is birthed inside you. So please bear that in mind. That's one of the ways you get visions. We'll talk about them in details, all right? That's one. Then secondly, what you were saying, specifically, is that as you go on, now, let me talk briefly about naira and kobo. Now, it's not about money, amen? Are we clear about that? But God gave money as measures. Do you know? Like you have a scale. Let me weigh how much. Because let me give you an example now. If you are doing business, there's no other way you will know immediately whether your business is increasing or not if you don't check your turnover. Your personal profit is what I'm talking about when I say it's not about money. Do you get my point? If you are doing business, the turnover will tell you whether you expanded. It's a very simple way of knowing whether you expanded. What I try to teach is don't use that money thing to measure more than it's supposed to measure. Are you getting my point? It cannot measure your personal success in life generally. Is that okay? Now, so if I'm doing business, last year I did a turnover of one million naira. The following year, I should project, as part of my desire to expand, that my turnover this year should be 5. Make corrections for inflation, maybe 6.5. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? That has not made it about money. It's an indicator of how much business we are doing. We are not doing charity work. If we're doing charity work, it's a different matter. Even charity work, like Kingdom World Ministries, I can show you our books. Every kobo we spent is written down. Every single kobo. Every single kobo is written down. You will see the progression in the amount of expenses. Last year, our expenditure for maybe all the money we spent last year, we probably have come to like, let me just quickly give a rough estimate, maybe 2 point something million, all right? Because
Cosmo FM alone. They collect like 1.2. Nothing is added. Just Cosmo FM alone. So you get what I'm trying to explain? Everything we do, we bought fan, buy this, all they cost money. These things, they cost. You understand my point? So when I'm making projects, when I was making projects for this year, my wife and I, where is she? Sitting somewhere behind there. When we're discussing, I said, this year we'll do well with 5. And now, I didn't desire 5 million naira. No. Is that I checked the cost of the expansion we want to make. Expansion is not here, of course. Although these things that we did is part of it. All this one, you say, all this, you know, my background is always shining these days. My wife, I think, and Zim came here to sweat over this thing to make it shine. Now, but the background came up because we needed to start filming. Because we wanted to start filming, the ACs are coming up, all right? We need to just put our agenda and all of that. All these lights, they are coming because we need to start filming. We are not filming to keep. We are filming to broadcast. Do you get my point? And the people who are broadcasting for us are going to collect money, and we know how much they are charging. So we did all the arithmetic put together. It came to 5 million naira round. So if I give you our books in one instant, now, for information, the biggest gift I have gotten from Kingdom World Ministries is the one you guys gave me in December. That one has not really like increased. That's what I mean. It's not what we are getting. Personally, that's the issue. But in one instant, I can say, look, first year all we spent was money for rent and virtually next to nothing apart from making this place up. The following year, once broadcast came in, you know, in a glance, you see the increase by just looking at the total amount of money being spent. Do you understand that? It hasn't changed the fact that it's still a charity organization. You follow? Now, if it's business, that one is different. You demand pay. Give and it shall be given unto you. That's what business is. I give you goods, you give me money. I don't want free will offering. If I sell you my shirt, you give me my money. That's, you know, just recompense of reward. So the money, therefore, automatically in one glance shows you how much business you are doing. Do you understand? Now, the one in which you can get carried away and start pursuing the naira and kobo thing personally is one you just have to fight against. And there's only one way. That's why I tell my friends once in a while, I say, look, guys, everybody makes mistakes. The only way you can be corrected is if you are hearing the word of truth. I say, me too, I need somebody to preach to me before I slide away. You follow what I'm explaining? So by constant eating the word is what keeps you on track. But listen to this. The laborer is worthy of his wages. Are you getting my point? As your business increases, so will the size of the car that you drive, and it's not a sin. Are you getting my point? It's just that you must never put the cart before the horse. Many people I know have killed their business because of the house they want to build in the village. If you have to take, we'll talk about that. Accounting is godly. The Bible says, know the condition of your flock, because riches are not forever. We'll discuss that one along the line. It's important. Every Christian business person must have an account book. When I say book, I mean, if you are not good, employ somebody, hire somebody to draw a simple, to make a simple flow, what do you call it? Excel program for you to be putting it, how much did I sell? What was the cost? Look, the small business my wife does, you see her up at night once in a while. I can't interpret she's a trained accountant anyway. I cannot interpret the paper. Just see lines, figures. And then sometimes my wife will go tap. Wait, when we're in Benin, you collected 5,000 naira from me. Where is it? Because people wouldn't get money. I said, and she had money there. That's business money. Yeah, that's the way we do in my house. If she says you or me, what it means is that if she says you is her business. That's her. And me is the family. You get what I'm saying? So if you say that, my husband, please, 15,000 naira, you are owing me. What it means is that I took from my business money to solve family problems. So family money, return my business money. Every kobo must be accounted for. And you buy a recharge card for business, it goes somewhere. That's Christianity. Because the Bible says, know the condition of your flock. Your flock is your business. I hope you get the point. Have I answered the question a bit? Yeah, but we'll discuss it further. All right, that's the last question I'm taking. Let us share the grace so we can...